Good morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. Before we get into the text, I have one question to ask. And this came up in some of our meetings yesterday. But how many of you guys would prefer an 8 o'clock morning prayer on Saturday instead of 7? Okay. Some people say no. So we'll let you know this week, okay? What? Sure. Thanks, Stan. Acts 26. Acts 26. And Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and proceeded to make his defense. "In regard to all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that I am about to make my defense before you today, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions among the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. So then all Jews know my manner of life from my youth up, from which from the beginning was spent among my own nation and at Jerusalem. Since they have known about me for a long time previously, if they are willing to testify that I lived as a Pharisee according to the strictest sect of our religion, and now I am standing trial for the hope for the promise made by God to our fathers, the promise to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly serve God night and day, and for this hope, O King, I am being accused by Jews. Why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them, often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. And while thus engaged, as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests, at midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both of those to those of Damascus first and also Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. And for this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple and tried to put me to death. And so having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by that reason of his resurrection from the dead, he should be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And while Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, 'Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad.' But Paul said, 'I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do.' And Agrippa replied to Paul, 'In a short time you'll persuade me to become a Christian.' And Paul said, 'I would to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains.' And the king arose with the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. And when they had drawn aside, they began talking to one another, saying, 'This man is not doing anything worthy of death or imprisonment.' And Agrippa said to Festus, This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.'" Amen. So chapter 26 is the last of the discussion. Paul's defenses before, you know, Felix, Festus, and now before Agrippa. And we are closing a chapter section dealing with the rejection of the gospel in these parts. And then chapter 27 and 28, and we'll be finishing the book of Acts then, is dealing with the reception of the gospel, you know, to those that are in Rome. And it's interesting, you know, at the end here, he tells them that, you know, man, this guy could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. But it was important for him to appeal to Caesar, because you remember a few chapters before, right, the Lord stood next to Paul and said, you know, you testified in Rome or in Jerusalem, I'm going to send you to Rome to also testify. And it's all part of God's sovereign plan. And so he's off to Rome. But before we get that, Paul makes this brilliant speech, and he touches on, you know, a few points that are I think are quite important that I'll get to a little bit later on. But, you know, it's again the absolute, in human perspective, the absolute perfectness, you know, is that a word, perfectness, right? Perfectness of, you know, of Paul to be the messenger, to be the voice, to speak to Jewish people. You know, here was a guy that was trained, you know, with the best of the best. You know, it says here that even he was a Pharisee, even his sect of the Pharisees was the most strictest sect. You know, in other words, the rules and the regulations, you know, by which this particular group of Pharisees operated in was just above and beyond even the other Pharisaical sects that were operating that day. And this guy was a Hebrew of Hebrews, you know, and yet even with, you know, everything that he's got going for him, you know, in terms of, you know, his persecution of the church and even going out all over the place to find other Christians, people of the way, even then, right, it just... the ineffectiveness, you know, in many ways of his witness, you know, to this particular group of people, you know, and again, it's primarily because he was called to the Gentiles, you know, and, you know, I know I've been stating this point again and again and again, and so it's important for us to recognize our calling, right, to recognize not only our giftedness, you know, and our giftedness only goes so far, right, and but to recognize the calling that God has put in our lives, you know, and then to gear our energies and that gifting and everything else, right, to move forward, you know, into that calling. And so Paul comes here and he talks about, you know, kind of like a microcosm of salvation, you know, in some ways. You know, we'll look at verse 18. It says, you know, this is what happens: to open their eyes, they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, right, in order that they may receive an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me, right? Me is obviously Jesus speaking, you know, and so the Lord is bringing a very, very contrasting picture, you know, of what's happening in the spiritual realm, right, that when we're ministering, that when we're witnessing, right, we're turning eyes, right, from darkness to light, you know, and it doesn't mean that you have to be condescending, you know, or you have to look down on people. I know a lot of times, you know, when you talk to, you know, pre-believers, you know, sometimes they get a sense that as Christians, you know, we look down upon them, and oh, you know, you're not enlightened, right? Oh, you're not spiritual enough, or, you know, what the case, and that's not the point, right? The point is not to say, oh man, yeah, you're in darkness. You're jacked up, man. You know, you got some serious problems, man. You know, but to recognize that in the spirit, this is the transaction that's taking place. You know, turning from darkness to light. You know, and the word is dominion, right? You know, it's ownership, it's rulership. It's talking about kingship, right? You know, it's the word dominion's got political overtones, you know, military overtones, right? It's about power. You know, and it says, and they take it from the dominion of darkness, that's where, you know, or the dominion of Satan himself, you know, to the dominion of God. You know, and so it's interesting, right, that you know, there is a structure in place. You know, when we talk about our friends, our moms and dads that are not Christians, you know, that, you know, I mean, there is darkness that's happening there. Right, it's in the same way that us as Christians, you know, when we begin to veer off from our faith, you know, and we begin to enter in and do things, you know, and be involved in activities that we should not be involved in, you feel that darkness. You know, I mean, you know, you don't have to be a Christian a long time to, you know, go to place. I mean, I'm gonna embarrass myself and a brother of mine. You know, but we were in Cambodia last. It was ages ago, probably the last worship conference that I attended, you know, and we decided, hey, let's go get a massage, you know, and, you know, harmless thing, right? And so a huge group of us, you know, I mean, I think almost everyone on the worship team and that missions team, we went, and me and another brother, we thought, you know what, you know, we don't really like foot massages, you know, let's get a body massage. You know, and so we went, and so everyone else was on the, you know, ground floor, you know, and they were getting a foot massage. And then this brother and myself went upstairs, you know, to another room, and we're still together, you know, and the lady started acting very weird, you know, and then this brother luckily spoke some Mandarin, and somehow these ladies were speaking Mandarin, you know, and they were asking us certain questions, you know, but more than that, because I mean, I don't know what's going on, right? There was a little bit of darkness in that room, you know, there was a little something going on there that was quite evident. And then, you know, eventually we realized that this was a semi-brothel, you know, kind of situation, right? You know, thank goodness the brother was with me or else I'd be in big trouble, you know, and things. And so you recognize, right, you can walk into a place and you can sense, you know, just something's not quite right here. You know, I've heard many of you when you go to look at apartments, you know, you've gone to some apartments, great, everything looks great, right? But you walk in there and you're like, something's a little out of whack, you know, in this place. And you sense that darkness that's there. You know, it's kind of interesting. And we need to be aware, right, of a spiritual realm, you know, that's an operation. I know in, you know, I mean, this is a huge thing for me, a huge peeve of mine. But, you know, honestly speaking, you know, and I'm not trying to denigrate, you know, churches that are not charismatic. It has nothing to do with the charismatic thing, right? You know, but I find more than anything else is the church more involved in humanism than anything else, right? The messages that are preached, the outlook they have in this world, you know, there isn't this you know, duality of the natural world and the spiritual world. Everything is natural. Everything can be convinced away. Everything is scientific. You know, and it's really, really sad because that's not the gospel. That's not the biblical Christianity, the reality that we live. You know, there is a spiritual realm. And so, friends, you know, when you sin, right, you violate something in the spiritual realm. You know, when we engage ourselves in certain activities, right, and even some activities, they may not be bad, you know, or sin, but we talked about, you know, last week, they're an encumbrance. You know, that so easily entangles us, that Hebrews, you know, tells us. You know, and we violate something, you know, in the spiritual realm. And I think we have to be aware of that, right? And be very keen. And you know, now, at the same time, right, and because it's always balance, you know, we don't have to go all the way to the other extreme now, right? And that, you know, the wind blows and, oh, that was the demon. You know, that was the spirit of wind, you know, or something like that. And you'd be surprised how prevalent that is. You know, someone says something, it doesn't mean they have a spirit of whatever, right? You know, and honestly, right, we have to be very, very wise as well, you know, and I know that we have inner healing ministries, you know, and things like that, and you know, and I'm always, you know, I always keep it in check, right, because not everything is cause and effect. Some things are, right? I mean, most things are, but not everything is cause and effect. You know, and we, you know, we just have to be very aware and hopefully draw some kind of very good balance, you know, for us that we recognize there is an enemy, right? There is, you know, someone named Satan, you know, there is a legion, right? I mean, an army of demons, you know, and it's true. I mean, it's crazy, right? They're there and they're out to rob, kill, and destroy, you know, but there also is a God. You know, as greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right? And so we don't have to fear, but we recognize that there is a realm out there and we're sensitive to that realm. That's basically what I'm trying to say. And then he gets to the issue of repentance, right? So he talks about this is what he's trying to do. Open their eyes, you know, bring them from darkness into light, from the dominion of Satan, right, into the dominion of God. And then he talks about repentance, and I'll just close with this, right? And he says in verse 20, right, that they should repent, turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. And so Paul is laying out a three-prong, you know, or a three-step, and it's not, you know, actual, you know, but kind of guidelines for what repentance is. Right, repentance, right, is turning away. It's turning away from whatever is going on, right? Repentance, listen. Repentance is not saying you're sorry. That's just words, okay? You know, I mean, we never do this in the morning, but I want you to turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, or just say good morning, right? Something like good looking is tough, and many of us are not so good looking in the morning, right? So, good morning, right? You know, and just, you know, real simply, right? Repentance is not saying you're sorry. Go ahead. That is a part of repentance. Repentance is saying sorry, but it's turning away. It's turning away. You know, a lot of times, I think we find ourselves struggling again and again and again over a particular sin, right? You know, we keep falling over again, you know, and we don't want to do it, but it's because we never turned away. You know, we felt sorrow. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't have done this. You know, but we never turned away. You know, I'll take a case, you know, that's quite common in our world, you know, in the church, pornography, okay? You know, we're actually thinking about doing something this year to really address this issue. You know, but pornography, it's like, oh, you know, I did this thing, I looked at it, oh, man, I suck, you know, I'm so sorry, God, da da da. But yet you don't turn away from it at all, right? You don't put any filters on your computer. You know, you don't set any accountability things in order, right? You know, you know what I mean? There's no actual turning away from it. You just kind of leave it alone at that. That's not turning away. You know, it's going completely 180 degrees. It's walking away from, you know, and so in a case like that, right, it's you know, it's putting a lock on your computer. You know, it's getting accountability, you know, with other brothers or, you know, and if you're a sister, with other sisters. You know, it's making sure that you know, that you're not, you know, in these kind of situations, you know, again. You know, it's really dealing with maybe issues of loneliness, you know, that may be the root causes of some of these things that are happening, right? And it brings us into that place, and there's got to be a turning away that happens. Now, in repentance, the turning away doesn't just mean turning away from sin. The turning away means turning towards God, right? And so I think a lot of times what happens is maybe you feel sorrowful, but you don't get filled with God. You know, you're just turning away from something instead of turning to someone. That is a huge, huge distinction, right? You know, I mean, this is going to sound very worldly, right? You know, but you know, the best way to get over a broken relationship is to find a new one, right? I know that's, you know, not the best advice, right? But I'm just talking about emotionally. That may not be the best thing for you, right? But you know, you're in a relationship, you know, with a girlfriend. You know, she breaks up with you. You know, one of the emotionally, one of the best ways to get over it is to find another girlfriend. You know, and so we understand this humanly, right? Again, it's not the best, you know, it's called rebound, right? It doesn't really work that well, you know. But it works in the same sense, right? And even better because now it's God. You know, and it's not just, you know, turning away from sin. It happens simultaneously, right? Or it should happen simultaneously. We turn away from sin and then we turn towards God. All right, that's repentance. That's what he's talking about, right? They should repent, which is the turning away. That's what repentance means, turning away, right? And turn towards God, right? It's the turning towards God. And that's, you know, honestly, that's probably the most important. Remember in Luke when he talks about the strong man? He says the strong man, right, is bound and stuff, and they goes and cleans up house. And then he says, and because the house is only swept in order, he brings demons seven times more wicked itself. And then the state of that man is even worse than the first and than the beginning. You know, and it's this idea that you evicted the strong man from your life, right? In other words, you went through deliverance, you took care of the demonic aspects, but you just swept everything under the rug. The house actually wasn't filled with God. There wasn't an invitation for God to fill that space. You know, obviously, you know, when he's talking about the house, he's talking about the heart, right? You know, and so you didn't fill that space with God. And so the demons come around, you know, in a waterless realm because they're always looking, right? You know, like roaring lions, you know, seeking to devour. They're always looking and waiting. And then as soon as they, you know, find that, you know, they go back and say, hey, the place is empty. It's clean, right? But it's not been filled. And so they come back. It's that same aspect. You turn away, whatever that's saying, you turn away and you turn towards God. You know, and a lot of times, you know, what I believe happens for a lot of us is that there's a turning away, you know, but there's not a feeling that's happening simultaneously, you know, and thus we tend to fall again and again and again and again, right? Or in some cases, you are filled with God, but the Bible tells us be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And then, you know, we go to the next part. We don't perform deeds appropriate to repentance, you know, and we're not walking now. And this is what we call this an allegiance encounter, right? You know, this is doing deeds appropriate, right? This is walking allegiance. And, you know, if you've read any of Dr. Kraft's books, probably one of the key concepts that he brings out is this idea of a truth encounter, power encounter, allegiance encounter. You know, and so we can think of the power encounter is probably maybe the repentance part of turning away and taking care of business and all these kind of things and turning towards God. You know, but Kraft will say himself, and he's actually coming back this year, you know, to teach at church again. You know, and the aspect of that, right, is the turning, you know, or the turning to God, and then it's the allegiance. It's the acting out appropriately, right? It's manifesting that repentance in our life. Doing deeds appropriate to righteousness. You know, and this is not meant to be like a works theology or works mentality, you know, but in the same way, right, in the same way that if you're saved, you know, if you've repented, these works shall follow. For instance, humanly speaking, right, you know, Stanley and Sarah just got married, right? Stanley says, I love you. You are my wife, you know, and we were there, right? We witnessed that, you know, I give my life to you. And then next day, he just takes off, you know, he's not around, right? You know, and he's seeing other people, right? And some of the opposite sex, you know, is that appropriate, you know, for a husband? Of course not, you know, and I know he doesn't do that, right? And stuff, so, or else... You know, no, he doesn't. You know, and can you imagine? You know, and what we take as so elementary in human relationships, right? You know, and you know, a lot of the complaints that you'll have in relationships, especially females to males, is you're all talk. You know, you know, I want to see it, right? You know, you said it, I want to see it. Right, and you know, and sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And when we take as normal functioning elementary principles of human relationships, and yet when we talk about God in that same manner, right, we just totally miss it. You know, if we listen, friends, if we love God, you know, there are certain things that take place, or else we're not telling the truth. You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, when we talk about repentance, if we've truly repented, things just happen. It's not saying as a leader, it has to happen. Well, in a sense, it does. I mean, I should say it's supposed to happen. It should be an overflow of repentance. In the beginning of the book of Acts, right, we have 3,000 people get saved. You know, they turn away from their idolatry. You know, they turn away from whatever they were believing. They now believe in Yeshua Messiah, right? And so they come to this place, and what happens, right? We see the fruits. They start living in community. They start sharing whatever they had. You know, they start loving each other. They start sharing house to house. You know, I mean, something significant happens there. Right, and you see all through the scriptures, right? The Bible is full of fruits of repentance, of people that had a life change, that something changed. They turned away, they turned to God, and as a result, boom, 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 these things followed, right? And you know, I mean, that should be, you know, a very simple kind of equation for many of us. And so, listen, friends, there are fruits of repentance. Now, this doesn't mean we judge people. You know what I mean? And that's not what this whole thing's about, right? But you can see the evidence of fruit. Do you know what I mean? You know? I share with you guys in our New Year's Eve service what my New Year's kind of resolution was, right? You know, and really simple. I just want to give eye contact to my wife. You know, that was my big thing for 2012. You know what? It's been only a few days, right? You know, into the new year, and I've been doing a pretty good job. I know it's only been 6 days, right? And stuff, and my wife can tell the difference. You know, you can ask, she's happier, right? It's just like uncanny, right? It took me 10 years to figure it out, right? And stuff, but it's you know, it's just, you notice, you know, you notice change. You notice behavior modification, you know, in some ways, right? You know, and again, as a follower of Christ, we're not into behavior modification. We're into inner transformation that releases the behavior modification, right? And so there should be fruits of repentance, you know, and as a follower of Christ, you know, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, there should be a visible evidence of you following him, you know? I mean, really, I mean, does that make sense? I mean, there should be visible evidence. Not you know, I don't know, people say, hey, don't judge me, right? Well, it's inevitable. You're going to be judged, bro. You know, it's like there's, you know, biblically, I mean, I don't want to go on another tangent. Biblically, there's nothing wrong with judging. We're going to judge all the time. You know, what's wrong with judging is we judge others with a standard, right, and judge ourselves with a lower standard, right? When Jesus talks about judging, he's talking about hypocrisy. Right, you know, the log in your eye, the speck in your brother's eye, right? It is natural for us to judge. I think what God asks us not to do is be judgmental, you know? Judging is just operating in wisdom, you know? I mean, if we meet someone in the church and we know that this person, ask, you know, this person for money, you know, for a loan, and this person got the money, this person never paid the guy money back, you know, and then he's asking other people, and then the same thing, right? And they loan money and never paid the money back, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And next thing, the guy comes to you and asks you a question, hey, can I borrow some money? I think you're gonna use your judgment, aren't you? Right? And say, yeah, I don't think so. You know, bless you, right? Unless God speaks to you. And it's natural for us to judge, right? But you don't be judgmental. Amen? And so, I mean, let's go back to the text here. That they should repent, right? Turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. Right? This is what we're talking about. So let's close our eyes today. And what we're, you know, the whole, what I'm talking about is consistency. God is not interested in perfection, but God is interested in faithfulness. You don't have to be perfect, right? No one is perfect. There's none righteous, not one. But he expects faithfulness. In other words, living a life full of faith. It's the actions that operate out of faith. And so this morning, examine your life. As you have repented, is there evidence, is there fruits of repentance? You examine your own life. As a follower of Christ, am I living as a follower of Christ? Am I walking in allegiance with God? I've had the encounters with God, the truth and the power encounter, but am I living an encounter with God in allegiance? And if the Holy Spirit starts convicting you of some aspects of your life, just repent. You know, just move on. Turn away. Turn towards God. And start living that faith out. As Mooney leads us in a song of worship, let's just meditate on that.
Lord, I've one more breath. you. Living water rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life coming from me. Lord, I want more of you. Living water rain down on me. Lord, I want more of you. Living breath of life coming from me. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you. Lord, I want more of you. Holy Spirit, rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life coming from me. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you, Lord. We are thirsty, oh Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you, more of you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, I want more.
Lord, I want more of you. Living water rain down on me. Lord, I want more of you. Living breath of life coming from me.
Lord, I want.
Lord, I want more of you. Living water rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Lord, living breath of life coming from me. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. More of you, Lord. We lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. We lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you, Lord. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. We lift our voices, hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you.
Let's pray, huh? Let's pray for ourselves, our families. Let's pray for our community, our church. Let's ask God that truly, right, that there will be a turning away, a turning towards Him, and then fruits that follow that repentance. Let's pray for a community, a church that constantly lives in repentance. And not meaning that we live just feeling sorry for ourselves or live under guilt. That's not repentance. But it's just because God is holy, a desire to be holy as well. You know, and to live a life where everything, the fullness of God can flow through. And so let's pray for ourselves and our community in that aspect. Let's pray for our community, members of our family that are struggling with illnesses. Let's pray for Hyge's uncle who's has lung cancer. Let's pray for Charles Han's dad, for Krista's aunt, Alex's dad, Janine, as she just finished her chemo. Pray for full recovery. Pray for Matthew Doble's aunt. Pray for my aunt, Janella's grandma, Kian's mom. I pray for Belinda for a full recovery for her. Pray for Charles Kim's niece, Lizzie, a 2.5-year-old with a brain tumor. Let's pray for Rachel Nian's uncle for his lung cancer and for her great aunt's cancer as well and for their salvation. Let's pray for Bonnie's grandfather and his salvation as well. Pray for Vivian's grandfather who has Alzheimer's. Pray for the Wagners, Connie's aunt who has breast cancer. Let's pray for Chris Lee's aunt who has cancer. Pray for Jin's mom who's got an early stage of ovarian cancer and an aunt who has breast cancer. Let's pray for Elaine, you know, who was our intern that moved back to Canada. Let's pray for her soon-to-be father-in-law who has cancer as well. Let's just lift up our community. Pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's lift up Mark Starn, Sujin, John Kang, Juhi, Katharina, and Vivian. Let's ask the Lord to provide supernaturally for them. Let's pray. Let's spend some time this morning and let's pray for our new families. You know, let's pray for the babies that have just come into the world. Pray for the moms, especially the first-time moms. You know, it's quite a lot of work. Huh? Let's lift up Lena and Joyce and Nelly. You know, and pray for Head-On as well. We just had a baby, and let's just ask the Lord to just give them strength. You know, and it's a really crucial time, right? These early few months, and let's pray for the baby's health. The baby would be feeding well, sleeping well, you know, all the different aspects. You know, let's lift up our pregnant moms. You know, right now, let's pray for Leanne, who's in Taiwan, and you know, having a little bit of difficulty right now. So let's just really lift her up. You guys may not be familiar with Jazz. Johnny and Jazz got married earlier late last year, and they're pregnant as well. So let's pray for her and ask the Lord to continue to just guide them. Is there anyone else that's pregnant right now? Huh? Oh yeah, Sarah. Yes, let's pray for Sarah. Pray for some strength. God add some muscles, right, for her, and so she can deliver well. Let's pray. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our local ministries. Let's lift up Pastor Jimmy and Face to Face Ministries. Let's pray for Almond and Zhengsheng College, Feed the Hungry. Armando, let's pray for CSW and Anil. Let's ask God to bless these organizations as they reach out here in Hong Kong, all over Asia. Ask God to protect them. Ask God for provision, for anointing. Right, everything they need to succeed, that God would provide for them. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for our welcoming hospitality team and our barista ministry. Let's ask God's hand to be with them, to really minister through the leaders over Leanne and for Pastor Eugene, and also for Bonnie with the barista ministry. Let's ask God to really allow them not just to serve drinks and welcome people and give them a bulletin, right, but just the atmosphere, right, the friendship of God, the friendliness of God would just really be extended, and people would really do feel welcome, you know, as they enter into the presence of God. And so lift up all the members that serve. Let them serve with a pure heart and a real love and desire for others. And let's just ask God to really use these ministries to bring people into His fold. Let's pray. Let's lift up this weekend before the Lord. Let's ask for God's hand to be with us as we gather together. Let's pray. Today we have a board meeting today. Let's ask God's hand to be upon our board and our directors as we submit our final budget and take care of our church business. There's also a premarital counseling assessment going on today. And this morning, pray for GA as she leads that time. And I think there's 10 couples that are coming to see if they fit with each other, right? So just pray for a real fruitful time today and ask the Lord to really use that time to really, you know, more than anything else, to bring understanding and love amongst the couples. Pray for our Sunday services, 10:30, 2 o'clock. Pray for the presence of God to come. Pray for an anointing as we worship. Pray for the worship teams that are there. Pray for Noah's Ark. Bless the kids, get them to grow, you know, in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for the youth group. You know, the Lord will continue to touch them. Everyone that serves this weekend would be filled with the Spirit and would serve with such a gladness in their lives. And let's just cover this weekend and just pray that God will be glorified in everything we do as a church. And let's pray together. Let's pray for Marcia. You could read the prayer request there. Let's pray for salvation for her loved ones, breakthrough for her. Let's pray for her career, her relationship. Pray for Kevin. I don't know who that is, but ask God to place his hand upon him. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Janice Lynn. Pray for her family. Pray for her uncle and aunt's heart surgeries that's coming up after Chinese on the 18th and after Chinese New Year. Pray for God to be the center of their marriage with Charles and for him to use them powerfully. So let's just lift up Janice. Let's pray for Charles, for his relationship with God to go deeper. Pray for salvation for his family as well. Pray for his marriage, right, and just guidance and blessing over his career. Let's lift up Charles. Father, we bless you this morning, God. We thank you, Lord, for getting us up, Lord, for coming into your house, God, to seek your face, to pray your purposes, Lord God. And we pray, God, that we would, God, live and walk in truth, Lord. God, that repentance, Lord God, would be on our heart continually, God, as we seek to live righteously, God, Lord, to turn away, to turn towards, God, and see the fruit follow us, God. Lord, you said that these signs shall follow those that believe, God, and signs, not necessarily just miraculous signs, God, but you'd see fruits of repentance, Lord, flowing through our lives, and we say yes to that, God. We agree, Lord, and we say help us and give us strength, Father. Watch over us this weekend, God, especially as we come into the Sabbath, Lord. Let there be just an empowering time tomorrow, today, God, all throughout, Father. Lord, everything we do, we lay at your feet. We say, come, Jesus, and be glorified in the midst of us. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great, great prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow at church.